I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 1041 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
And Friday.
Not quite.
Not quite. I know, but mostly tomorrow. It's
like Andrew's Friday. It's a lot
it's
of
like
people's
pseudo
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's such a short show.
You may not take a one-hour show seriously, Mr. Wheeler, but I do.
I take it seriously. It's just, you know, one-fifth of my normal day.
I'm not even going to show prep for tomorrow.
I'm going to show prep for 15 straight hours just to show how seriously I'm taking tomorrow.
So for the first time in my life, I actually got a second opinion on a medical issue.
What?
Yes. Yesterday, I've been telling you guys, I've been having this little thing going on with my lungs and kind of catching my breath, you know, and sort of like at the end of a bronchial infection. And the first opinion I got was from Andrew. And
Dr. Andrew
immediately told me what it was. He gave me the name of the lung condition and then said, don't be afraid, but the only person I've ever known who had this passed away. And then he said, or you could be developing asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm 61. I'm not stupid, but I took it seriously. And then I thought I should probably talk to another doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to Dr. Matt Knoyer, ENT, and told him all my symptoms. And he goes, oh, yeah, man. He's like, I got the same thing right now. He's like, it's just some sort of a little bronchial thing. I'm gonna prescribe you some steroids. That should knock it out by next week. And if not, I'll get you like an inhaler and you'll be fine. And I was like, so you don't think it's interstitial? And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Just, you're fine.
I really feel bad to hear that Dr. Knoyer is developing asthma. That's a bummer.
Dave, do you feel like if you got an inhaler, you would use it compulsively?
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think? Oh, my God. I would empty that thing in 15 minutes.
It'd be an expensive.
Dave like,
no kidding. Jeez.
Dave would have a nebulizer going the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
Just with a mask on with a at all times in the background. I hated that thing when I was growing up.
You had one?
Oh, yeah. I have asthma. It's pretty bad when I was a kid.
How did I not know you had asthma?
I don't know. I don't whine about it.
Ouch.
Wow.
He's like, I'm not a huge baby like some people who are developing asthma.
Some people who are developing asthma just make it like their whole thing.
Making everyone's problem.
Ask multiple doctors.
No, I actually forget until like I'm out on a walk with you guys and we're walking really fast and I'm like wheezing for breath and I'm like, why is this? I'm like, oh, right. Asthmatic. That's how little like, that's how little I'm out running around and doing things.
How little you actually task your asthma?
Yeah, how little I push it is that I forget that I have it entirely.
I've always thought, I've never had to have a stress test, you know, like for your heart. But and I know they're a good thing because doctors do them, but it's never made sense like, hey, this guy, I think he's having heart attacks. Okay, put him on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Make him walk until he's really uncomfortable.
Not interested. They don't have to test me. They can just look at me and go like, yep. He's got it.
He's got it. I can tell from 10 feet away he's having a heart attack.
He was clutching his chest, climbing onto the treadmill. I think we don't have to test him.
Mm. Never know where to start. Bad at starting. Go.
Did that help?
Nope.
Damn.
Didn't help at all.
1, 2, 3, topic. What's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Who's got a starter pistol they can fire off?
I can give you a too much information story.
Hit me.
TMI, let's go.
I ran it by Rage to make sure I could tell it.
I don't care.
Yeah, what Rage, does she are you care? HR now?
It's not too much of my information.
Yeah. No, if I get fired, she takes over the show, you know? So And it's a little risky since our boss Steve Moore is listening right now because he's driving for his holiday. So it could be your show hell by the time Ricky Horton's on to 1:30.
There you go.
But I'm taking
Dave,
this.
You should do that impression. Absolutely should.
Taking this medication that kind of backs you up a little bit. So last night I was trying to, you know, relieve myself, you know, number two, and struggling a little bit. And out of nowhere, for no discernible reason, I've never, ever uttered these words before, I sort of yelled out, "Go, Princess Leia!" And then I started laughing in the bathroom by myself, at myself.
And did it fix the problem?
Didn't help at all.
Oh, shoot. I was hoping there was going to be like a happy ending to that story. You'd be like, and after that, miraculously.
No, I would be saying it. Trust me, I'd be walking around with a nebulizer saying Princess Leia all the time.
Well, I guess it was just an excited utterance.
So, I'm a bit of a yeller.
So
like
you had a 40-year-old virgin moment there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, Kelly Clarkson!
Yeah.
Except you chose Princess Leia, which, by the way, great choice.
No, I must be a genius, because all those things they say, like if you curse, if you talk to yourself, like when I'm by myself, I never shut up. I talk more alone than I do when there's someone there.
I can't get past when you were starting the story and you were like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, relieve myself.
Well, Steve's listening.
Poop.
I'm normally just saying like I was taking a poop.
Like he took it easy and then you really drilled down. It's like, no, we got it.
Yep.
We knew.
I understand.
You guys getting excited for the 4th?
It's too hot. It's too hot.
I bought some red, white, and blue, like, daisy. I guess they're not daisies, but they kind of look like daisies. Some flowers this morning.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I also bought two little American flags.
I thought of you last night, Rach.
What's that?
I screamed out Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Last week, I was talking about how MAGA has just taken over patriotism and the American flag and all that kind of stuff. And now it's become a big story, not because I said it, but just nationally people are saying the same thing. And you very correctly said, Donald Trump's not going to take my patriotism from me. He's not taking the American flag from me. He's here and then he's gone. We've been around for 250 years. This isn't going to end us. And you're so right.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe, I mean, everybody feels differently, but to me, I'm not going to pretend I'm not patriotic or pretend I don't like the United States of America. Like, I live here. This is the country I was born in. I am excited for 250 years. Were there tons of things this country did wrong on the path to 250? Absolutely. I'm not going to pretend like we've done everything perfectly. There's a lot bad in our history, but there's also a lot to be proud of. And yeah, I'm not going to unassociate myself with the American flag just because some people think they own it. Like they don't. And it's everybody's.
In addition to the things that you said to celebrate, for someone like me in my position politically, a man on an island, no one gets me. I don't get anyone else. There's no party that exists that I feel comfortable with anymore. But I do appreciate and believe in the process. It's almost like we're just talking. Like, if you analogize America to a human body, sometimes the human body gets the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But the human body has a process to take care of that. Now, some people think that Donald Trump is the greatest thing that's ever happened. To me, he's kind of the flu. But we'll take care of it. The country will process it one way or another. We'll get through it. We'll hopefully, you know, right the plane and get back to where we need to be.
Yeah.
I wish and this, again, is only the people that do this, nobody else. But the people that are always pounding their chest about freedom, 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 freedom. Well, yeah, that means we all have the freedom to be patriotic the way that we want to. We don't need to have our underwear as the American flag. We don't need to be flying a flag in the back of our car. You know, we can be patriotic in our own way, just like everyone can be religious in their own way. You don't have to do it like everyone else. But yet this group of people wants to thump their chest and point their fingers at people that just don't do it the way that they do. And that, like, you scream freedom all the time, but that's what the freedom is. It's the freedom to be the way that you are. If I'm not the guy that's going to be flying around, running around with, you know, American flag clothing, first of all, it's because it's not supposed to be on clothing. But second of all, it doesn't change how any of us feel, how I feel about the country. It doesn't at all. And I think that that's just such a horrible, ignorant way to look at it. That, oh, you must hate America if you don't do that. Well, no, I love it here. I just don't do it the same way you do it. That's it.
Yeah, and like that's totally valid. The only thing is like you're not, if someone is convinced that you're not a patriot because you're not like wearing a flag on your Cat in the Hat style top hat, like I don't really feel the need to get in an argument about that. Like, to me, it's like, I am very secure in my patriotism and the way I look at the United States and the way I'm going to celebrate the 4th of July. I don't feel a need to like explain. And I think sometimes we make a mistake of like, no, it's for us too. No, you're wrong. It's like, no, just let people be wrong. And like, don't waste your time arguing.
Because
just live your life.
One thing I've learned in the 10 years we've been doing this is you don't change anyone's mind. Maybe someone who's really close to you in your life who you can have real intimate conversations with. But nothing I say on this show politically, it may make people think. It may make people think Glover's an idiot or, oh, that's a pretty good point. But it's not going to make someone wholesale change what they think. It just isn't. And trying to make someone change their mind and being frustrated because they're not, it just really screws you. So...
Yeah. Well, I mean, my issue on this is just stop yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
I don't care if you think what you think about it. Just stop yelling at everybody and stop. You know, this is one of the real issues with all of this is I really wish we had more people. And this is just the world of politics. I wish we had more people who were actual leaders on these subjects rather than people who just look to exploit the anger and the emotions of the people they want to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all that it's constant manipulation by people running for office. And I'm talking high office. I'm not talking about your local mayor. I'm not even talking about state reps necessarily. I'm just talking about like the big national politicians. They're always just trying to play off the fear and anger of the people that will vote for them to get more of them to come out. And I wish they had more honor and more dignity to not exploit fear and anger for their own purposes. But they clearly don't.
This is why I love this show. We started out with me screaming Princess Leia while I was pooping. Now we're having an intelligent conversation about patriotism.
We got a good, good bit. We got a good bit. We got a band. We got a good, good band. We got a good band. We got a beat. We got a US beat. We got a good beat. When I met you, I'm a beautiful little crazy like I'm going wrong.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. A lot of people out there should be celebrating the last couple of days. They're going to have all 10 of their fingers. That was an evil laugh.
It's going to happen to them.
It's going to happen.
It's been 10 years since I set off a firework.
Yeah, probably the same.
Long time.
What's your favorite? Your favorite, like, home firework?
I just like the big, sparkly, pretty ones, I guess.
Those are, you mean the ones you hold?
No, not sparklers, but the ones...
Aren't those like 3,000 degrees or something crazy?
What?
Yeah, there's some
sparklers.
Kind of insane,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful with those.
You hold it from the other end, though.
But so you can draw in the sky with them.
It's pretty close to
it's
little
pretty
kids.
Close.
Five-year-old hands next to 3,000 degrees. So
mm-hmm. Next to a big patch of dried grass.
Being supervised by your drunk uncle. There you go.
Do you remember snakes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, loved them.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were great. So you honked at someone in the drive-thru?
Yeah, last night. I had been telling you guys all afternoon yesterday, I want McDonald's. I'm going to try to get McDonald's. So I put in my mobile order. I get to the drive-thru. They're pretty busy last night. And the lady in front of me, you know, we're all looking at our phones as we're sitting and waiting in the drive-thru, but she was engrossed in something and she kept like missing the fact that the person in front of her was moving forward significantly. And she did this after placing her order because you kind of still sit there for a while until there's a gap enough for you to move forward. She wasn't moving, Me, being the anxious wreck that I am, I'm like, she's going to mess up the flow of the line.
I'm going to get the wrong order.
Yeah, yes, and maybe someone else will, and I don't want the McDonald's workers to have to deal with it. I'm trying to police the situation. So I just gave her a friendly little honk.
Yeah.
And she acted like I flipped her off and called her.
What'd she do?
She was like, ugh. Like, moved her head really, like, and then pulled forward.
You should have beat her ass.
I probably should have, yeah.
Would have been a power move.
But then I'm thinking, is it wrong to honk in the drive-thru? Because no. I was sheepish. It didn't.
No. I have been the one on my phone many times and been honked at, not many times, but, you know, and of course it's jarring. Yeah. And at first you're a little bit like, you know, but you're like, okay, I'm the jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't mad at her. I would just, again, I was being like the hall monitor. I'm like, please go, please. We don't want to mess it up for the rest of the people waiting for their Happy Meals.
How was the Donald's?
It was good. I got the two cheeseburger meal.
Reasonable.
Dave, I've been more reasonable at McDonald's because I have this thing when I get fast food, I'm like, the worst thing that could ever happen is I finish my meal and then I still want more food. Mm-hmm. So I always over-order and then I overeat.
I love that's the worst thing could happen.
What's that?
You said that's the worst thing could happen.
It would be terrible.
I feel the exact same way and I have the same problem. I over-ordered at Burger King last night because I'm like, what if I'm still hungry?
What if I still want to be eating when I'm done eating?
And then I've wasted both my time and my money. Because exactly. I'm wasting money buying dinner, but it doesn't even fill me up. What's the point of buying dinner then?
But no, last night I thought about it all day. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I got the two cheeseburger meal with a medium fry and a medium Diet Coke. Did I have a couple of Kurtz fries? Yes.
You might have got a little shortchanged.
Right, yeah. They could have fallen out of my container into his container.
That's true.
Yeah.
You never know how things go when they're inside the fast food bag.
Do you guys ever
bag.
Shake out, if you get fast food with somebody, do you ever shake out some of their fries into the bag without them looking so that you can claim them as loose fries?
Duh. Or
is that just me?
Duh.
No, I don't do that.
What am I, a monster?
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I actually feel guilty taking the bag fries for myself, but I'm like, this is the finder's fee. I went and I picked
sure.
it up.
Yeah.
But I'm still like,
it's your commission.
Maybe
yeah.
I should be splitting
You get to keep
this.
The strays, yes.
Oh, your holiness, excuse me.
I'm not intentionally
Andrew's
taking
like,
someone else's food.
Do you guys steal food,
no.
food from your spouse? Ah, look at you, you saints.
Oh, I guess you're just going straight to heaven.
We're really throwing around that S word pretty loose. Steal? It's not stealing.
I'll tell you this. Fat Dave.
I thought you meant saint.
Fat Dave was a big fan of the drive home burger.
Oh.
The secret burger.
I've been guilty.
I get you.
And I would hide it from Maureen like she didn't know I was fat.
Tonight I get
she
to...
has no idea.
I'll take it a step farther. Tonight I get to have something that I refer to as husband's delight, which means I'm going to...
Oh, that sounds terrible.
I'm going to go
Don't
out...
call it that.
I'm going to go out. I have something to do after work tonight, and it's going to go until later in the evening. And then on my way home for dinner, I'm going to stop and get Taco Bell, and I'm going to eat it by myself in the car. Well, I listen to podcasts or something, and then I go home, and my wife just thinks it took me, like, there was, like, traffic or something, and it took me an extra long time to get home.
Top five favorite Andrewisms of all time since you've been on the show is when you snuck out at, like, 10 p.m. and went to Casey's to get a treat and then pretended to be really drunk. So that the people at Casey's would be like, he's drunk.
Yeah, I didn't want them to think I was just a fat loser. I wanted them to...
He had a terrible drinking problem.
Be like,
oh, he's got the munchies. I see how
alcoholic.
It is. Yeah, he needs something to take the edge off.
Yeah, and then he's going to get right back in his car and leave. Oh, yeah. That's a great story.
And then, like a psychopath, you just bought a little sleeve of Little Mickey's donuts, right?
Yeah, I wasn't getting a feast. I just wanted a little snacky snack. A little snacky poo. Nothing crazy.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our conversation conversation with Ricky Horton is sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings Experience at Westport.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to check in with our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon. How are you?
You too, man. First question. How much do you miss me when you go out of town?
the tears flow a lot. I will say that. I get kind of nervous, get the shakes, and, you know, it's kind of just the natural things that that being apart does to a person. So it is nice to be home for a lot of reasons, and you're one of them, Dave. How's
that's
that?
You're a little quiet, and Rooney's like, is it Glover? And you're like, yeah, just, I'll be fine.
Should have known. two of you.
So here's my real Dave question.
Oh, my. Yes.
I know that you guys are professionals and you're elite athletes, but on days like this, you know, the dog days of summer, before a game when it's going to be 110 degrees on the field, are you guys sort of like, this is going to suck?
Well, so you know what you do at that moment? And I will say that there is a inclination to do that, to think that way, that, man, there's dog days. You know, August typically is bad, but, you know, when it's hot, we're in hot Atlanta, although today might not be as bad as it's been the last couple of days. But honestly, that's where the perseverance gene comes in, where you just kind of just suck it up and just keep going. And then it ends up not being that bad. I mean, I know that sounds kind of a trite answer, but that's kind of how I'm geared, because that, you know, that's the way it was. You're playing in Busch Stadium and it's at 120 degrees. You want it to affect the other guy more than you. So you're just, the only way to kind of succeed is to say, look, I'm not going to, you can go ahead and be hot if you want, but I'm choosing not to be. And, you know, it's not, you know, it's going to be hot. Yes. But you just choose to just not let it affect you and kind of move on from it.
Kev, you know something about this playing catcher in Miami.
Well, this was every day. It was every day.
Yeah.
And we had the same kind of old school AstroTurf that Ricky played on at Busch too. Like it was 110 every day on the field for our afternoon practices. And those were some of them, Ricky, my first year or two were before the restrictions came in on NCAA workloads. So now it's 20 hours a week. We were going 4 hours a day. I mean, that's seven days a week.
So there's something about expectations that it goes into this. If you that and the other team doesn't,
that's right.
You know, it's just like whatever job you do. It's like, well, you're going to go, mow a lawn in St. Louis in August. Well, I've done that before. I know how that feels. So I'm going to gear up for it, as opposed to being surprised by it. So I think if you're surprised by it, then it just can knock you silly. And, you know, I just try not to be surprised by it.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys had a little bit of an advantage in that way for some teams. Certainly
Definitely.
Not everybody. But,
Definitely.
You know, I know we did. Any team that came down from the north, they were done. It was going to be a rough weekend.
Guys, my buddies on the other team would come up and say, wow, it's hot, wow, it's hot. And I'd be going, yep, we got you right where we want you. I mean, not that I would talk like that to my buddies, but it definitely was a feeling that this is going to be good for us because it's bad for them.
Well, and today, not only are the athletes elite, but they're watching how they hydrate and they're watching what they eat and they're getting massages.
Their sleep is regulated, really monitored.
Yep.
Back in the 80s, you guys had buckets of beer behind the dugout. I mean,
They literally count their sleep right now. They count the number of hours for every player, as Kevin just alluded to. And, you know, they're going to count your hydration. I mean, there's goops and liquids and all kinds of stuff out there with electrolytes to make sure everybody, including us, they'll provide them for us if we need them, that just will kind of help you hydrate well and efficiently and all of that. I'm thinking about a couple of teammates of mine. If they would have been counting their sleep, they would have been really surprised at the answer. That's all I can say.
No kidding. Well, it's like, you know, if you've read much or watched interviews with Mickey Mantle, it's very sad. Like, by the time he was an old guy, he's like, hey, kids, don't be like me. I did it exactly the wrong way. And he never said it, but he sort of alluded to, I probably could have been the best to ever play had I just not torn my body up.
There was a lot of lament in him at the end. There definitely was.
Very much.
And he had a lot of contrition in that. And I think it was implied that and everybody knew he could have been. I mean, he was great. Let's put it that way. He's a Hall of Famer regardless. But I think he felt like maybe he did a disservice to his career and to his fans by not kind of being in the best of shape. And I mean, I would venture that Babe Ruth didn't get a solid 8 hours every night either. I mean, I'm gonna doubt that he did. And if you looked at his calorie intake and his food choices, I'm gonna say it was probably a little heavier on the hot dogs and beer than on vegetables.
Rick, was it Wells that threw a no hitter super hungover?
I'm not sure he's the only one that's done that, but I think it was him. And honestly, you know, we can go back in Cardinal history and Grover Cleveland Alexander pitched the sixth game of a World Series and came to the ballpark. And, you know, he had celebrated the night before the Cardinals' first World Series. He pitched in that game. I think he got the save. I think he closed it out. He pitched three innings and he was feeling terrible because he was 100% sure he would not pitch that last game, and he did. And so the Cardinals' first World Series is basically, I'm not going to say tainted by, but it involved a pitcher that was, needing some electrolytes.
Man. Mm. So let's talk a little X's and O's. I've been listening with great interest, Wheels, as you guys on Rush Hour talk about how critically important up to the All-Star break and then the couple of series afterwards.
Yeah,
you know?
really 3 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
Because you're getting up on the deadline. I would think it would be everything coming down to the wire on decisions, right, Rick? I mean, I'm sure they're going to want to have every bit of information they can about where they are, where they're headed, and then obviously, you know, get a feel for what teams are offering too. Or what they might need to offer to get something if they want to go out.
100%. And, you know, I've been kind of pushing off this question for, say 3 or 4 weeks because it's like, well, you don't know where you're going to be when you get to where you're you're going to need to actually decide. So don't be in a hurry to make a bad decision. So I think right now we're in a position of this. Yesterday was game two of 14 games in 13 days leading into the break, all against teams that are either in first place or second. The Cubs, it's been Milwaukee, and it's the Braves twice. I mean, it's not an easy time. And so that these 2 weeks are going to inform what happens out of the break. And it's going to be really quick to see, as you mentioned, the schedule after the break. It's going to be upon us. So you better have your ducks in a row as to which way you want to go and who might be available. And obviously those conversations are already going on right now behind closed doors with Haim and others. But I just think, you know, these next 2 weeks leading into the break are going to heavily inform what happens come out of the break. And when you come out of the break, it's just a matter of that's going to be the time where you're actually making the deal and finalizing what you've already kind of been talking about, but now you have more info.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about taxing. You mentioned it, 14 games in 13 days to wrap up the pre-All-Star schedule, and then 20 games in 20 days right after. Like, physically taxing in addition to being important.
Yeah, and 100%. And you know, they're geared up for it too, just like we were talking about earlier. It's kind of like this is what you sign up for. You know, nobody's feeling sorry for somebody to have to play baseball every day, but it is going to affect, I mean, it certainly affects, and you add the heat into that, it certainly affects levels of performance. And so you've got to find a way to stay as sharp as possible so you're kind of, you know, you're not headed to the finish strong because the finish isn't even here yet, but this is a finish to the a trading deadline, which I think is going to be, again, pretty critical for the organization going forward.
Interesting dynamic. I think we might have talked about this a bit, Ricky, but we've been talking about it a lot separately when you're not around, not because we don't want you to talk about it, but like the team's offense, home and road, has been starkly different. And actually, it's been true for the pitchers, too.
Yes.
And for some reason, Busch Stadium is just not providing a lot of offense this year.
No, it's odd. It's odd. Now, I think people that have been to the ballpark have said, hey, this is an exciting team. It's a fun team. But you're talking about 2-1 wins when they win and not kind of the 10 games over 500 thing that you would hope to have at home. But on the road, the Cardinals are averaging over 5 runs a game. Only the Dodgers are scoring more runs per game on the road in the National League than the Cardinals.
That's wild.
And so you'd say, well, wait a minute, how can that be? But it's true. Now, yesterday was not one of those days.
No.
The offense did kind of sputtered against the Braves. And, you know, the way it is with the Braves, if you don't beat their starting pitcher, you're probably not going to win because their bullpen is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we get a different result today. But it's been a little odd. And I don't know that there's a real answer to that, Kevin. I don't know why the team hits better on the road. I don't think they're doing anything differently or there's anything wrong with the hitting background at Busch Stadium. It's just maybe just kind of where they are at that moment in terms of how their timing is and their at-bats have been better on the road.
Yeah, I actually think it's just the ballpark, I mean, I don't think it's the players playing worse. Too. I think the ball just doesn't carry in the gaps.
No, and it doesn't. I mean, it carries here in Hot Atlanta for sure.
Yes.
And there's, I mean, Fermin hit a ball yesterday that John and I both thought, I mean, he hit it okay, but it was a pop up. There's no way that that's close to the warning track in St. Louis.
No.
And Dubon had to make the catch over the wall to rob a home run, which would have been a great moment for the Cardinals. But it's like, there's no way that ball's going out. And it almost did.
Yeah. I had the same feeling off the bat. It just looked like a pop fly.
Yeah, it did.
Rick, I know you guys went to a World Cup game when I think in KC. Are you keeping up with it? Are you into it?
Oh, I got the Fox channel on right now, man. Yeah, before I'm getting ready to get on the bus, but I'm all over because I got to find out, you know, who else is playing next. And oh yeah, I'm all into it, and I watched every second of the game with England and who did they play? Bosnia. Yeah, and it was phenomenal to watch that game. It wasn't Bosnia. Who did they play? They played
England.
They played,
England was Congo, right?
Congo, yes, Congo DR. So I watched that game, every minute of it. They were actually staying at the same hotel as us too. I was hoping to, you know, kind of see if I could run into Harry Kane somewhere along the line, who ended up scoring two goals in that game. But it was, I mean, there was a big buzz around the hotel, obviously around Atlanta over the soccer game. And I'm not ready to call it football yet. I'm still calling it soccer, but it is definitely on my mind, and I'm excited about it.
All right, brother, have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You bet. Thanks, guys. You too. She might need a lot of love.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday that feels like a Friday because no one's working. And we're barely working. We're mailing this crap in. Throwback Thursday, Rach?
Yes, July 2nd, back in the day, 250 years ago. In 1776, the Continental Congress passed a resolution. These United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. The final draft of this Declaration of Independence was adopted 2 days later on July 4th.
Take that, England.
Yeah. They don't even care.
I knew this.
They just pretend they don't care.
I know. I think they totally care. I agree.
Right.
I think
it's when someone breaks up with you.
They're playing it cool.
Exactly. I didn't like her that much anyway.
We're so much better off.
Yep.
I totally agree with you guys. I think they just kind of like brushed it off because they don't want to admit defeat.
Yeah. I knew this, but I saw again last night the ages of the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm. Some youngins.
Making
me feel like a real loser.
Really?
Well, they were also, you know, only 10 years from being dead.
That's true.
They were middle-aged at 22.
Yeah.
I think Alexander Hamilton was like 25.
21.
He was
21.
That's wrong.
Jefferson was 33.
Yeah.
No.
Washington was 44.
Okay,
yeah.
Ben Franklin was 108.
Yeah, he was the old guy.
Getting laid like carpet in France.
He was the old guy. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually had people younger like that also in charge of things now? It seems like they had some pretty good ideas and were pretty great contributors to what became a pretty great country.
Wait, I have to interrupt this. Atish Patel on the stream says, "Where is the best pizza in St. Louis?" I can't let that go unanswered.
Yeah, you would think that's not what we do here. It's what we do.
It's
here.
What we
do. That's exactly what we do.
It's exactly what we do. Atish,
absolutely,
what we're here for you.
Yeah.
Okay, off top of my head, Pantera's, Blackthorn Pub.
Overrated.
Oh, I'm going to fight you.
I'm sorry. It's not. It's good. It's good. I just don't think it's the best.
Tell me one better.
Well, if you're willing to make the trek, you could always go to Roma's.
Roma's in Bethalto.
In Bethalto. Now that's not necessarily St. Louis. That's across the river.
Yeah.
I like Pizzeria Tivoli.
I do too.
Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have.
Pizzeria Tivoli.
Several times.
I also really like Salvage Yard.
I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm. She's making it up.
They do St. Louis style and Chicago style pizza.
Yeah, Atisha's saying Blackthorn. It's a what part of town? Like South City, you know?
I've never been there. I think it's in Tower Grove.
Takes a long time to cook.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's definitely good.
Definitely been there.
And you know what? Yeah, don't discount Emos. I love some Emos.
Wichita says Antonio's. Haven't had it.
Anthony's,
sorry. Haven't had it.
It's good.
Is it just Charlie's Market on the Hill that has the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that has the sort of... They say original
the
Emos.
Emos, right, yeah. Mm. To me, Emos... I love Emos. But Emos is a mood.
Okay.
Like, if I'm just getting pizza on a Wednesday, it's probably not Emos.
Okay.
But, like, on a Sunday night, it's the only thing I can have.
It's like an occasion.
Yeah. Back to you, Rach, sorry.
145 years ago in 1881, President James Garfield was shot, and it took 80 days for his assassin's bullet to kill him.
You know why he died? Blood.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Blood poisoning.
Yeah, because they didn't sterilize.
But why he died? Because his doctor didn't believe in germs.
Yeah.
And so he poisoned his blood.
And he kept sticking his fingers in the bullet hole, searching
to
for
check.
It.
Yep.
And another doctor there kept saying, you know, you might want to be a little more
sanitary.
You're
supposed to, yeah. You need to wash your hands and
he was like,
clean the equipment, you know, steam the equipment. And
that's what killed him.
Yep. We both, I didn't know that before I saw the show Death by Lightning.
I did, but I'm smarter than you.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's a pretty great pull.
No, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Let's do one more. We're going to have to come back to Throwback Thursday because I have a ton more for you guys. But 89 years ago in 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, disappeared over the Pacific Ocean. I didn't know she had anybody with her.
Yeah.
Poor navigator.
Poor Fred. Nobody talks about Fred.
I know. Noonan. They're like, we only care about the first girl.
It's the first I've ever heard of Fred.
They were attempting to make the first round-the-world flight at the equator.
Yeah, they name-checked him in Caddyshack, though.
They got real close to Howell Island. And, like, they know pretty close to where, you know.
Wait, didn't they, like, find the wreckage recently? And they were like, we know this is her.
They keep finding it.
Yeah, the last I heard, they're like, some people are very confident she got eaten by crabs.
Giant crabs.
Yeah.
Right, well, I mean, but you could still find the plane. Yeah. They did. The crabs didn't eat the plane, I hope.
No,
they're
crabs
ate the plane. They're big, they ate the plane.
Actually, she ate the plane out of
plane
hunger.
Plane
and then the
crabs
got her.
Plane eating crabs got her.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.